This is Interpreting Wine host and founder Lawrence Francis welcoming you to a special series celebrating the beauty and diversity of Slovenian wine. These episodes, recorded in September 2019, let you virtually travel with me on a personal tour organized by Mojca from Enjoy Slovenia Travel and Wine. The episodes, to be released in the order in which they were recorded, will let the country unfold for you in the same way that it did for me. For more information about wine tourism in Slovenia, please visit enjoy-slovenia.com. Wines from the producers featured in the series can be ordered at fineslovenianwine.com. And finally, to be in with a chance of winning a case of wines from the series, do head to interpretingwine.com/fineslovenianwine. Today's episode of the Slovenia Travel and Wine Special features Mojca Sevcek of Enjoy Slovenia and Fine Slovenian Wine. Nearing the end of the trip, we kicked off my last day in Slovenia with an interview with Mojca, the tour company which organized the logistics for all parts of the epic 3-night, 4-day tour, and the web shop where you can purchase wines from the series. We hear the chain of events that awoke her entrepreneurial spirit and saw her launch first Slovenian wine selections and then found Enjoy Slovenia to bring visitors closer to the real Slovenia. We get an insight into how she builds relationships with winemakers and hear some of the authentic experiences that clients have enjoyed over time, giving a real insight into Slovenian hospitality. We then talk about some of the health benefits of wines that are grown in the Karst region where this episode was recorded. And she looks ahead for the future of both of her businesses. Enjoy!
My name is Mojca. I'm the owner of the brand Enjoy Slovenia. That stands for tourism and wines. Actually, all the products in Slovenia. I started this business 5 years ago because I had all the time the problems what to offer my friends when I'm traveling abroad. I've spent hours in the wine stores and selecting wines, talking to people, what should I be best for someone in Italy, someone in US, someone in UK, if I went to Africa, what would they like? So basically at the end, 5 years ago, I decided to do the selection of Slovenian wines. That I selected 6 wines that are indigenous to Slovenia and I put them in a package. 3 white wines and 3 red wines. So this we offer now to the companies and to like a souvenir. From here, I had to do a step further. So now I have wines, so what else? So I said, so someone has to taste these wines. So I started a tour business. And I started with wine tourism. Why? Because I just love wine. I just love people who produce wine. I feel good with them. I feel good in the nature. And so my entrepreneur way started, I could say. And always had fun taking people around, being with them, introducing them our wine, winemakers, enjoying great wines with them. I actually work with one small boutique winemakers from all around Slovenia. And then I got inquiry to do a 2-week tour in Slovenia. Mm-hmm. How to do this? Usually tourists comes here with buses. They spend 2 days in Slovenia. They go to Blitz, to Ljubljana, maybe Postojna Cave, and then just continue their way to Croatia and maybe in Italy and so on. So how should I organize this tour? Because after all, Slovenia is a great country. So I started to think about Slovenia. Slovenia is a beautiful country. It's amazing country. It's really a natural pearl somewhere between Central, Southeast, and West Europe. It has a really great history, diverse history, diverse food, diverse wines. People are awesome. So, so I said, let's do a part of Slovenia. In two weeks, we saw one-fifth of Slovenia, spending each day in different location, caving, walking, hiking, cycling, water sport activities, wine tasting, enjoying delicious food from local ingredients in local restaurants. And honestly, they loved it. Two days ago, I got an email from this client, and they said, like, okay, someone might contact you, but just to let you know, you're still in our hearts. And that's what matters. I mean, basically, the people that come here are so satisfied because in Slovenia, they relax, they feel themselves, they feel the company they are with, they feel the nature, they forget about obligations they have at home, and they just start to understand the nature, the peaceful way of life, to connect with nature, and just they are just who they are.
I'm sharing our journey, really. You know, we've covered, you know, we just saw on the car more than 600 kilometers already. And, you know, Slovenia is not a huge country, but we've been sort of crisscrossing and, you know, we've been taking many scenic routes around. And, it's an absolutely beautiful country. And, you know, I've been sharing really, you know, the stories of the people we've been visiting from their perspective. But I think what would really bring to life what you're trying to do differently and, you know, what you're trying to share would be for you to tell the story, you know, for one of the people that we visited. How did you come to know them? How did you come to be sort of working with them? And you know, how did they come to be people that you wanted to share and demonstrate and be ambassadors for Slovenia?
So, at the beginning of my journey, I thought I will go completely the other way. I wanted to promote Slovenian wines abroad without tourism. I wasn't thinking at that time of tourism. I was just thinking about how to bring Slovenian wine to the tables of as many people as possible in different countries where Slovenia was not still represented. Why that? Because a friend of mine, when I was studying in UK, came to Slovenia several times visiting me. All the time we went to the wine cellars. And once he told me, but Mojca, why can't I taste and drink and enjoy this wine back home? And so I said, yeah, I mean, that's a good point. You know, why can't you join Tehran, that is healthy, nice wine, also in UK? So then we talked, and so we started this. And from this perspective, I continued, like, okay, let's bring Slovenian wine also elsewhere. I mean, there are Slovenian wines, but still, I mean, there was none at that time in Poland, in North Europe, there was not so well represented. So I wanted to go for winemakers on a fair. But of course, being a young and being a woman, it's quite difficult. And I met really nice people at that time, really excellent winemakers, sharing their stories and knowledge with me. And I was really lucky, as I always say, one of the winemakers that I really respect, one of them, invited me for lunch, and we talked. Oh yes, we are interesting on with going with you to Poland, that we find a new market for our wines. And it turned out that he's one of the best winemakers in Slovenia. His wines has so much recommendations, references all around the world, but I'm not going to mention because he told me not to. So he told me in the meantime, like, you know what? I'm just checking if you and my daughter that is taking over the winemaking, would match together to cooperate. I said, okay, do it. So 2 days later, he invited me for another lunch. And then soon I met his daughter. And they're coming from Bizilska wine region that's close to Croatia. Beautiful vineyard. And they are Vinograban. So these are Vinograban are one of the winemakers that I really enjoy their wine. And that I take my clients who wants to try really good Slovenian wine there. Their introduction you already heard on this podcast, so I will no further explain about their wines, but that's really something that I wish people would have in their fridge or in their wine cellar and taste it at least once a month. Enjoy their wine once a month. If people book my tours or contact me through my website www.enjoy-slovenia.com, then I can get more information from them, what they're looking forward to. It's not just, oh, we want to book this tour on that date. But yeah, I mean, I always ask, what do you want to experience? What kind of wine do you like? Is there something particular what you want to see and do? So basically, I'm quite flexible with them and I can always offer them something different. If they want to, and I can also change the itinerary. So that's a good point. And when we go to the wine cellars, because with winemakers, we are now quite a... we cooperate very well. We do also other things, not just wine tours together. They always have something special for us. So sometimes, let's say, there were some Indian clients. We were going in, let's say, this Graben wine cellar. We were there at 8 in the evening going from Styria wine region. And Giannis came in, the winemaker, and he said to Zala, "Zala, open my Gamay for them." And we got amazing Gamay, 0.375 liters. And they just had their eyes and mouth open when they taste this wine, because it's really, I need to be honest, this wine is already sold out. You cannot really get it. You can get it in one of the restaurants in the US. So basically, they're just keeping few of the bottles for special occasions in the wine cellars. And we were lucky to, I was lucky that just my guests had, I could try this. It also happened, let's say, a few days ago. We went in the wine cellar and he said, "Oh, let's try this Traminer." And it's, again, something that is not really, not all the groups get this attention. They don't, winemakers have a really lots of special wines that they keep for themselves, or they have it, they mature for their clients. So it's nice that you cooperate in such a way with them that it happens that some people really get some special attention. And they get what's not on the wine menu of that day. So that's really what makes these tours, this flexible. We are always flexible. You never know what is waiting for you. And we are happy when these surprises come out.
It's actually really interesting hearing you talk, because you're actually taking me right back to really when I started the podcast. You know, that my very first... 17 sort of visits, really, and the episodes are all still there, were visits to winemakers in Spain, it's true. You go and I think a couple of things, one, winemakers, they always, no matter where they are in whatever country, I always think they appreciate people coming to them, even, the winemakers you sometimes meet in fairs, or you see them in other markets, but when you come to their home, I really think it means something to them. That there's always a welcome, and no matter the country, there's a bottle of something there kind of waiting for you. And and as you say, you kind of never know, because that's the thing. You know, a lot of winemakers, they'll keep back different bottles and, you know, for their own knowledge. You know, winemakers, I think they're always trying to improve what they're doing, and you know, and they all love wine as well. So, you know, keeping back bottles and, you know, having those there, and, you know, where you, you know, where we did the tour at Graben, and you kind of, you know, you can walk around and see the library and see these bottles that are aging. And it's true. You just kind of never know. And I come across that as well, that kind of almost that intuitive sense with them as well, you know, depending on the season, maybe even the time of day, and absolutely who's there, who's visiting, and there, the energy they bring in, they can, as winemakers, they can, you know, potentially get something to match that energy and lift that experience and that occasion.
And what's even better in these tours, that you really meet the winemaker. Mm-hmm. He's the one who welcomes you. He's the one who takes you around. He's the one that explains you how he does the things. It's not the guide. I mean, I know it. Mm-hmm. I can do it. But it's that personal touch that really gives you, like, being welcomed. And he's there. He prepares food for you. He joins you. He smells wine with you. He drinks wine with you. And sometimes the things go so smoothly that basically we stay there for 3 hours, laughing, joking, talking about personal life. It's not, we are just human and we love the companies of each other. It's not coming there, oh, 1 hour wine tasting, let's do this and this and this. Oh, it's 1 hour, oh, we need to go somewhere else. No, we take time, we enjoy. And that's what Slovenia is like, to come, stop, enjoy, time. It's just this.
To kind of, I guess, build on and put some more color really to what we've been doing and what we've been seeing. You know, I'm still here and, you know, still, I guess, processing a lot of what I'm seeing and enjoying. And, you know, by this point, I will already have edited all of the other podcasts and come through. But I think, you know, at this time right now, you are, given your experience, you are in the best position to, I guess, yeah, maybe tell some of the stories and kind of give a flavor to the listeners about what are the sorts of things and sorts of experiences that they can find in these, you know, three different regions, I guess, that we visited, and maybe some others beyond, because I know you've seen a lot more of Slovenia than I have.
So basically, if we're going south to Posavje wine region, that is, there are three wine regions, like Bizeljsko, Dolinska and Bela Krajina wine region. We go on the tour, we visit Doni Castle in Slovenia, that's on the island on the river. Then we go sparkling wine producer when we see. Then we go to another winemaker that we experience, that we do some wine tasting. And at the end, that was interesting last time when I was just 2 weeks ago with some clients there. We taste some chocolate. We do chocolate and wine tasting because they are producing chocolate. They do chocolate wine. So everyone is excited. And especially girls, especially female population. And the winemaker surprised us last time because he put on the table hemp wine. This hemp wine is not even on the market yet. Mm-hmm. But we were the first one that tasted it. And people were so exciting over there. They were taking thousands of pictures, filming. I mean, that was really a big attraction. And at the end, he was just like, okay, may I get this wine in US? May I get this wine in Australia? Yes, of course you can. Oh, I would like to order 30 bottles. 30 bottles. Okay. So now we need to send 30 bottles of this wine to US. Even though the wine will be on the market, I think, by the end of the year. So basically, these are the things that really happens when, I mean, I don't even plan these things, but it just happens. And the good thing is that I'm still here and I can arrange shipping wine to my client. So if my client wants to taste and or have on the table the wine he tasted in one of the wine cellars, he just give me a call, write me, give, send me an email, and just say, oh, I want this and this and this. And even better, I like that he says, Moitza, please do me a selection. I would like to have something like this. And then we discuss, and yeah, I just do a selection and put on the post, and yeah, soon he enjoys or she enjoys the wines. So, and yeah, we wanted to have some stories. So let's give you a story from Karst. Here we do we do wine tastings, tours, or brandy and wine tasting. So basically, once we went for brandy wine tasting, so spirit. And instead of going to the cellar, we went for a walk, and they were like, oh, what's going on? That doesn't matter, just enjoy. So we went walking between the vineyards, and then we just stopped. And Ivo started to explain. So see, this is this plant, and that's that plant, and that's good for this and that. So basically, they found so much about the plants, health benefits of them. What they didn't even know, because when you live in the city and being all the time in rush and stress and job home and some gym and so on, you just forget of the nature. So when you come here, basically, you can learn that, I mean, on the fields, there are so many things you can use, you can eat, you can enjoy, and how is it good for you? So they were so much excited. And then, of course, we had to do some tasting on that field. And going back, of course, to the cellar where we continued our tasting of brandies. And basically, the best thing was that people were so excited. It's not just they're just tasting something. It's that they learn so many things. And that's Slovenia. Slovenia is a nature. If you want to see and take millions of pictures, you need to go somewhere else. But if you want to enjoy the green stuff, drink fresh water, steam water, hear the birds singing, really feel the living, then I know you need to come here.
I think what would, as well, you know, bring this to life in a very personal way is to just ask you to talk a little bit about yesterday at Stoka, because I know that you, and it's now still in the car, you've gone there for wine for your own use and your own kind of health benefits. So yeah, remind me again and, you know, introduce the listeners to that.
Okay. I hope people won't think I have AA problems. Basically, my personal story is that since I was a child, since my 13th, when I was 13, they discovered that I don't have enough iron in the blood. So I had to take pills every day. And my dad, when I turned to 18, my dad started to tell me, oh, drink wine, drink Teran. And I was like, okay, I'm not really a drinker, you know, why do you push me so much? Oh, drink Teran, don't eat pills. And he insisted so much, and I never listened to him. When I was studying in UK, he was sending me Teran wine by post. That somewhere even lost. And he's still angry because I didn't drink that wine, but I prepared the Teran liqueur to my flatmates. So basically, yes, then I had pregnancies, and I had to take pills all the time, a lot of pills, special pills from Switzerland, which later we couldn't find neither in Italy, Austria, Slovenia, nowhere. And the third child I had, I said, okay, now it's enough. Let's drink Teran. So I started to drink Teran, not moderately, not every day, but still once a week when I remembered. So, and it turned out that Teran, as they say, the old people say, is extremely rich with iron. And since then, I didn't even eat one pill. That's like 6 years now. I'm healthy, I have lots of energy, and I drink like a glass or two, three a week, let's say, not every day, but I mean, I drink a glass when I feel it, you know, and I drink it because of my health issues also. So yes, yesterday when we were doing this tour, I went to Stuka wine cellar, and I took like 25 liters of Teran. And when my husband last year came home, because we have a barrel for at home for me, he said, yeah, you're drinking so much. And when we had some party for 40 guests, we had to put this Teran out in the bottles and new one in, because it was different wine. And he at the end, he told me, you're not drinking at all. You haven't drank this wine for 6 months now, and me and your father were helping you, and there's still so much wine. You should drink more. So basically all people around me are telling me I need to drink. Maybe I should listen more.
Yeah, and that totally reminds me of Ivo Schutz yesterday and the Brinjevec. Yep. And yeah, you've hopefully already heard that podcast and heard his description. And yeah, I think it takes me back as well. You know, this I guess it's one of the oldest ideas around. You know, it's I believe Hippocrates, you know, however many thousands of years ago, was, you know, around, you know, let food be your medicine and medicine be your food. And I'm very much, you know, in tune with that. I think it's important to, you know, not have to rely on medicines where you can. And you know, that's something that I've definitely picked up here. You know, just that people are very much in tune with what they're eating, trying to eat locally. You know, there's that sort of culture, I would say, of small scale wine production. I think that really, you know, harks back to a time when people would make for their own production. And yeah, okay, there are sort of larger producers here, and maybe people who've you know, conglomerated different areas and different areas of vineyards and, you know, making it a sort of a larger scale. But I think, yeah, certainly that's what I'm seeing and I'm experiencing, and, you know, you're showing me, are those sort of more artisanal producers, the smaller ones who are, you know, always in tune with what they're eating, what they're drinking. And that's it. And it's just, you know, cutting the distance really between, you know, what's something, yeah, where you're picking the grapes and where you're vinifying them and where you're drinking them. You know, it can be as little as 50 meters really, that food chain, that supply chain, you know, cutting it right down. And yeah, I feel great, I would say, after just a few days here. So
that's and about Teran wine. Let me mention you something that actually the winemaking in Karst, where we are now, is dating back to the first century AD. And it is believed that the wine from Karst, this is today Teran wine, has been also consumed by Julia Augusta, the wife of Roman Emperor Augustus, in the first century AC. And she lived a long and healthy life. And actually, the winemakers from Karst years ago told me that Teran has been sold in small bottles in London pharmacy, and also enjoyed in Vienna. So basically, already centuries ago, they were aware of health benefits of this Teran. This is Refosco, made of Refosco wine, but grown on the Terra Rossa soil. That Terra Rossa is extremely rich with iron that goes also in the wine.
I just want to, in my own sort of playful way, play a little bit devil's advocate and, you know, draw something a little bit different out of you here, because, you know, I arrived into Ljubljana Airport and, you know, I have been to Slovenia, you know, 13 years ago. But on this occasion, you know, we're not going to be in Ljubljana. You know, we hit the road, we headed west, we've been out in the countryside and visiting all the winemakers who are, of course, outside of Ljubljana. But I want to say, you know, imagine I'm somebody coming to you. And I'm, you know, only going to be, you know, in Slovenia for, you know, say 5, 6, 7 days. And I say to you, Mojca, I want to be in Ljubljana for an evening or a day. I want to know, what were the sorts of things that, if you have a client that wants to see Ljubljana, what are the sorts of things that you've shown them in the past and you might show them again in the future?
Shall I be a devil back? And I always say to my clients, just leave it to me and enjoy Slovenia my way. So basically, if you already booked and book and pay the accommodation, of course, he can stay. And Ljubljana is a charming city. It's a really beautiful city with a charm, a lot of culture going on there, concerts, theater. I mean, amazing city and interesting. And it's a pleasure to spend there an evening by the river, drinking wine, just see people, you know, walking by the river and so on. It's really beautiful. But still, during the day, there are still lots of things to be done around Slovenia. So instead of going on this typical tour where most of the tourists with buses go, I would recommend him that or her then to go to do some, to swim a bit in the sea, to see Slovenian coast, stop in one winemaker, let's say organic winemaker, have a beautiful lunch somewhere with a view, and then return back home. Or maybe do some hiking in Vipava. Go hiking for 1, 2, 3 hours, as much as they want, enjoy the views, have again the delicious lunch of local products, like and herbs and seasonal products. Do wine tasting and return home. Or just maybe enjoy the lunch with a winemaker on his terrace in the Styrian region. So he would cook for us. We would be in his terrace looking at their Pinot Noir growing and listening the wine growing, you know, and see some other attractions nearby. So basically, these are the things that you can all the time offer, because Ljubljana is actually in the middle of Slovenia. So each direction you go, it takes you 1.5 hours. So if someone is ready to spend 3 hours a day in a car, we still can do a lot. Or we can go north to go hiking. I love mountains. I mean, and they're beautiful. You can go on the top of the mountains, have beautiful lunch, you know, on the mountain, and then return back.
Kind of my classic ending question, you know, is always to ask the guest to be looking ahead, you know, to be a little bit speculative. And I think, you know, standing here as we are right next to the vines, you know, we can sort of be, you know, very open-minded. And I think, yeah, looking forward, I know that you've got really two distinct brands. You know, you've got the Enjoy Slovenia brand, which is, you know, very much focused on the tours, and then the Find Slovenian Wine, which is all about, you know, finding new markets. for the fine Slovenian wines, you know, as the name says. So, yeah, I think for both of them, you know, what are your thoughts? You know, looking ahead, what do you think you need to kind of move forward, and what are you hoping for as we look here, you know, end of 2019, looking forward?
I would like to people let know that they could go for different type of holidays. That they really can spend some time in a beautiful countryside, in a beautiful country, enjoying all what nature could give, with a really lovely people, kind people, and have a magnificent time and come home back relaxed and full of energy. So this what my clients that I had realized. And so this is the best advertisement, is always word of mouth. And they basically, there are some people that experience this. They said it to friends are coming and so on. Or the same clients are coming, but for a different tour. Let's say we did this tour now, Mojca, let's prepare us a tour, a different tour, let's say. It would be interesting, basically, to get a contact with some brokers in United States, where most of my clients are coming from, and attract more clients from UK market, because basically here are cheap flights coming to Slovenia. They can have short breaks, whether in the spa and then do some wine tasting, or in Ljubljana and do some tours around Slovenia, or just a hiking tours for 3-4 days, just a weekend or short break, short getaway from the city centers. What this year, it turns out to be a really great idea, this fine Slovenian wine, which I'm going to now do a wine store, online wine shop, I will offer the selection of selected wines. I mean, selection of selected winemakers and the selection of their wines. Some wines won't be available on the market because they are limited editions. Most of them are limited editions. But some are just wines that you can get in the wine cellar. But unfortunately, if you're not coming to Slovenia or you cannot take them home on the plane, you can order online. Or just to do some tastings of Slovenian wine. So basically, to see what Slovenian wine is like. I mean, if you can compare it to other wines from another wine regions around the world, to see the difference, to see what is so special about them. I mean, we have here a lot of natural wine producers, artists. I believe there are lots of them also all around the world, but still, each winemaker has its own story, and this story wine tells the best way.
Thank you so much, Mojca. It was an absolute pleasure traveling around with you. I'm so happy that in this episode you were able to share some of the experiences that you've delivered to your clients. And I think what you captured really well is just the fact that winemakers and winemaking regions are some of the most amazing places on the planet. Something that anyone who listens to this podcast will know, I'm hugely passionate about sharing. It's obvious to me that Mojca has a huge passion for delivering authentic experiences to her clients. And I can wholeheartedly say that this tiny country, Slovenia, packs in so much heart and personality, and can absolutely recommend Mojca for being your guide and go-between to meeting the real Slovenia. For more information about wine tourism in Slovenia, do please visit enjoy/slovenia.com. To order wines from the series, do be sure to visit findslovenianwine.com. And you can also email Mojca any questions you might have at info@enjoy/slovenia.com. And if you're not already, I would love to have you following along with me on social media, where I'm at Interpreting Wine on Instagram and Facebook, at Wine Podcast on Twitter, and email hello@interpretingwine.com. See you next time.